Welcome in to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 378. I'm your host, Josh Wiener. With me tonight are Seth Zillman and Jared Aubrey. We will be discussing a couple of news items, AEW Dynamite and the rankings that AEW released post-show. But before we get into any of that, fellas, how the hell are you?
Another week is here. Still kind of reeling over the Vince stuff, but most of the snow's gone. So just another week in the life of a suburbanite Chicago.
I haven't done the conversions to Fahrenheit yet, but this is the end of January in Winnipeg, and this is about the time where we start seeing comparisons to like Pluto and the moon and things like that, because it's so goddamn cold here. And you know, we're talking minus 35 Celsius with like wind chill to like minus 55, minus 60, that kind of stuff. It was plus 6 yesterday. So we're having a grand old time and trying to enjoy it.
I think that's roughly about 40 degrees. So, when it's 40 degrees where I am, I'll still go outside. Like without a jacket on or something like that. A lot of Midwesterners will. Occasionally I get some people saying, "Don't you feel cold or anything?" And I'll show them the underside of my forearm, and I'll say, "Yeah, you see how white that is? A little cold doesn't bother me."
This is for Winnipeggers, like plus 6 in the middle of winter is like t-shirt and shorts weather.
Mm-hmm. Celebrate.
Well, Jared, we were 1 degree away from tying a record high today. So I did bust out my Celsius to Fahrenheit converter. Thanks, Google. And to let you know, we were at, in Celsius, we were at 12.77.
Jeez.
So 55 degrees Fahrenheit.
Not too shabby at all.
On February 1st. I'll take it. But getting into the news, we're setting aside the Vince stuff because. And
who really wants to talk about that anyway?
Yeah, no. And so just two minor items today, and they are that NXT talent has been booked for the February 2nd SmackDown show. We will be seeing Trick Williams, Carmelo Hayes, and Bron Breakker. Trick and Carmelo are going to be following up on their storylines set in motion last week and in previous weeks. And Bron Breakker will be following up on the storyline from Raw, where Nick Aldis is trying to sign him to a SmackDown roster contract. Second item. It sounds like it's repetitious, but it's just more confirmation. Fightful Select came out with an updated story that Mercedes Moné is expected to debut for AEW in March, sometime after Revolution. Thoughts on the news, brief as it is.
I know there were people that were trying to compare the news with her to what happened with Punk, which was that the talks were there, then they stopped, and then they picked back up again. I have no problem believing that WWE tried to get her, but you know, obviously things didn't work out. I honestly think she probably would fit better in AEW. I don't know if that would be her primary thing or if it would be New Japan, but I don't think too many people would complain if they effectively built the division more around her. And then I know you didn't say anything about Okada, but I was hearing a similar thing about Okada, that the talks were there and then they were gone and then they were there again. So that seems to be like the common internet rule now when anybody becomes a free agent, it seems.
Don't you think though, that if WWE really wanted her back, that she wouldn't be there?
And they could just throw the bank at her? No pun intended.
Well, I have a feeling and it's a combination of things. I don't think they value her as highly as she values her.
Yeah,
because the report was she wanted more money than Charlotte signed for, and that was her most recent extension or whatever. And I probably would like to believe that they don't see her that way. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is as far as the Rumble goes, she wasn't physically ready to perform, even if mm-hmm. that did come about. So, yeah, that just wasn't in the cards, so to speak. So
was she using the old Rock, I'm not in ring shape yet?
Well, no, I don't know. I guess her ankle's not fully healed yet.
Oh, gotcha.
So, like I said a couple of episodes ago, it was never really revealed what her injury was. So it's really hard to predict a timeline when we don't know what happened. Or, you know, if there's any complications from that.
I was going to say about the other chunk of news about, you know, the, you know, Nick trying to sign folks, you know, Bron Breakker to SmackDown. Are we going to see that every single time that somebody comes up? Because, well, they did it, you know, with when Punk was available, right? It's like, oh, which, where's he going to go? And everybody's all, oh, come sign our contract. Come sign this contract. I think they've done it twice. It was Punk and somebody else. And now they're going to do it with Breakker. It's like, can we come up with another idea to get somebody onto a TV show?
Well, it could be the more sports centric, you know, element that they're trying to add. Plus, at the same time, Andrade signed his Raw contract in a contract binder on Monday. So it's a trope that's going to get old pretty quickly. So, and the other person you're thinking of is Randy Orton.
That's it.
Yeah. I just figured it, they got their brand split, and that's their way of explaining it, is that people are under contract to brands until they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, until they show up on the other show.
Mm-hmm.
I had it written into my contract. Okay, so Dynamite took place, and one of the very first things that was revealed was that Tony Khan to make a big announcement next week on Dynamite. Speaking of trope.
Pretty soon he'll be making announcements that he's going to make an announcement.
Oh, that's what this was.
Yeah.
Complete with graphic. At this point, I don't really care anymore.
Why,
Moxley? Yes. Josh,
is he going to come out and announce that he has an announcement to come next week?
He's going to announce that flight plans are available for all in London. Everybody in America doesn't give a shit. That was the last big announcement, was tickets are going on sale for all in.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, nobody cares. Okay. John Moxley defeated Jeff Hardy. There was post match interaction with CMLL wrestlers. It is a recent partnership with AEW and CMLL. We are getting matches on Rampage / Collision and reports of the BCC going down to CMLL as part of the agreement. These guys beat up John after the match, and we're going to get an 8-man tag on Rampage that has nothing to do with Moxley or the BCC. So that makes sense. we had two Dealer's Choice matches where Page and Swerve picked their opposition's opponents. And the first one was Swerve selected Toa Leona from his Mogul Embassy stable to face Hangman Adam Page, and Page was successful. Chris Jericho defeated Kyle Fletcher of the Don Callis family and also the Ring of Honor TV champion. So I'm not real keen on Jericho winning against a guy like Fletcher. I'm also kind of done with this Jericho versus the Don Callis family. It's not really putting anybody over that should be. And when they do, they forget about it. And I'm kind of just over it already. In the highlight of the night, which is pretty much the highlight every week, Deonna Purrazzo defeated Taya Valkyrie, but the highlight was Toni Storm was on commentary, and I've chosen a select few excerpts from what she had to say. She made fun of Excalibur, saying everyone knows Excalibur is just Sean Mooney under a mask. She said, Mr. Tasmaniac, I have a bone to pick with you. It's pronounced souple.
Oh my God.
So Taz is the human souple machine. Then she says, Mr. Schiavone, what happened to you? Because last week it was Ian Riccaboni on Collision. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I guess a lot can change in a week. She threw in a dad joke by saying maybe Deanna will tie her up in a knot.
Oh gosh.
Which I thought was, it was well played, well done. And then in a line that, well, if you don't know, don't worry about it. But if you know, you know. She says, I love it here in New Orleans. I was given some beads. They were not made for my neck, but lovely nonetheless. Ah, Tony, such a gem. Yep.
She's pretty gold right now.
And then in the main event, in the other Dealer's Choice match, Swerve Strickland defeated Rob Van Dam in a hardcore match. Wait, with what? Samoa Joe on commentary.
Yeah, Joe was awesome on commentary, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't get to listen to the whole match, but one of the lines he did have in the beginning when Rob was being introduced was, Rob Van Dam's kicks have damaged more teeth than gingivitis.
Nice.
So before we get to the rankings, and I will get to them in just a moment, Seth, I know you're the only one of us who saw the show in full, but yep. Thoughts as we have them.
Well, I think it's clear that the Hardys are turning heel. Why? I don't know. I'm not quite sure why you would want heel Hardys, but I'm also pretty certain that they wouldn't be turning heel if they didn't want to. So it's probably their idea. The Moxley Hardy match also did the screwdriver through the earring hole where he twists Jeff's ring around, but sticking the screwdriver through the giant piercing in his ear. That's always wince-worthy, if that's an actual word.
Yeah, wasn't it Excalibur's pen this time?
Yeah, you know what? I think it was a pen. Okay, yeah, maybe I'm...
No, I mean, you were calling back to when Randy Orton did it with a screwdriver, but yeah, I mean, it was a callback, yeah. But I think he grabbed Excalibur's pen.
Okay. And then I thought it was funny. It's like Swerve picked Toa Leone, which, you know, makes sense. He's in the stable, big, mean, scary guy, all that stuff. Perfectly fine TV match. And then somehow Swerve didn't read that they could pick the stipulations. So hence why it was a hardcore match with RVD. I mean, I can see why they would do it as a hardcore match from a booking standpoint with RVD, because obviously the ECW history. It just seemed like it made Swerve look a little dumb. Now, granted, heels can be made to look dumber than the good guys are. I mean, that's okay. So on the list of things to question in wrestling logic, that's pretty low on the list. And of course, the match was fun. Like I said, Joe was gold on commentary. So yeah, it was a great show. I mean, there wasn't anything I guess can't miss about it, unless you like really wanted to see Rob Van Dam, because he's kind of become like Yoda. It's like when you see him, and I do mean this as a compliment. It's like you see him come to the ring, and yeah, he looks older. He's a little slower. And such, because, I mean, let's face it, none of us probably walked the same way we did when we were in our 20s. But like Yoda in Attack of the Clones, as soon as fight time, it's like the dude flies around like he's 30 again. So, yeah, at least in my opinion. So it was still an entertaining match, and we'll see where it goes. We'll get to the rankings here, because I guess it's where some of the logic gets questioned. So, but yeah, that's really all I have.
Tony Storm is must see.
Yeah.
If you only watch one thing, make it be Tony
Storm. She's going to turn her baby face. Yeah. If she isn't already.
Plus, when the camera's on her, her face gestures. Oh my God. She's hilarious. Oh, and also Luther, when the match was over and Deanna won, Luther was doing that thing where he looks at you through his fingers and he's trying to crush your head by putting his thumb and his index together. It's just hilarious. I fell out laughing. I thought that was great.
I think it's out on, I don't know if you can find it on YouTube or not, but it was one of those matches that went into commercial break. And when they were fighting outside, I forget who it was against. And this is a word I don't usually say, but I have to say it because it's the word she uses. She literally looks at the camera like Mr. Perfect would when he says, now you're going to see a perfect plex. Only she says, now you're going to see a titty slap. And then she went and slapped him.
Oh, she, I rewound it a couple times, but I couldn't make out what she said fully. But it sounded like she said something to the effect of, I told Taya to get her tits out, but apparently she got the memo or something because of the way she was in her ring gear. I don't know. But yeah, Tony just makes it work, whatever. We say it and we're, you know, we have to go see HR. She says it and it's hilarious. So
we're perverts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, well, let's get to these rankings because that's about all there is left here. The men's rankings. Swerve is number one. Hangman is number two. Copeland, three. Mox is four. Roderick Strong, five. For the women, Deanna, one. Thunder Rosa, two. Hikaru Shida, three. Sky Blue, four. Mariah May, five. Tag teams, Sting and Darby Allin, number one, John Silver and Alex Reynolds, number two, which I'm pretty sure they lose all the time, so I'm not sure how that works. Three, Bryan Danielson and Claudio, four, Private Party, five, Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta. And lastly, in the trios division, number one is Bullet Club Gold. Number two, the Hardys and Mark Briscoe, and I will circle back to them in a second. Three, the Dark Order. Four, FTR and Daniel Garcia. And five, the House of Black. So, Jarrett, you haven't been on when I talked about this in the past. I think it was just one time. But the Hardys and Mark Briscoe, Matt Hardy named their trio's tag team the Brethren.
Okay, that's fantastic. Can we sue them for a trademark infringement?
Yeah, that's what I said. I said we're gonna have to get our lawyers on them. Anywho, so Seth, thoughts on the rankings?
Yeah, the I've always kind of liked the rankings idea, and it was one of the things I actually looked forward to when I first got into wrestling in the early 90s, because not only from the after mags, but the weekly syndicated WCW shows, I would actually look forward to seeing how their rankings work. And of course, it was all storyline driven anyway. But they would have their world champion, and then the secondary champion, the US champion, would be the number one contender, and then they'd go from there. So the men's one, I really don't have a problem with. It is storyline driven, like you said. Swerve and Hangman are undefeated so far. Copeland's going to be getting another TNT title shot soon. And obviously Roderick Strong has got the Continental or the, what do they call it this week? The international title.
Yeah, international.
So the fact that these guys are getting title shots, I'm assuming that's why they're in the top five. So that's fine. Nothing really to complain about there. Deanna Purrazzo, if we're only going by AEW records here, the women's part is really where we're going to have an issue, because Deanna Purrazzo is ranked number one, I guess, because she's getting that title shot. Thunder Rosa is ranked two. She came back, what, like 2 weeks ago? And yes, she's one. But who was she beating? Shida. Okay, she's got a lot of, she's had wins under her belt. I don't know how many matches she's had this year. Sky Blue, who I think we all like, but again, who has she actually beaten? And Mariah May has won what were effectively two enhancement matches, and she's ranked number 5. Where the hell is Julia Hart? where's Chris Statlander?
Ranked.
Yeah.
Title holders are not ranked. They're champions for these rankings to challenge. So that explains Julia. Statlander should be on here. Willow.
Then that at least explains Julia then. But the tag teams, it's like, I can actually see Sting and Darby ranked number 1. Yes, they're getting a title shot and they're undefeated and all that. So that makes sense. But I guess it's just the biggest issue I have is the women's one, because they got these people who have had just a couple of matches and they haven't beaten anybody of merit. And it is January. I get that. But if we're only basing it on rankings, then I'm wondering how we have people here that just doesn't make much sense. You know, but again, like we've said, it's storyline driven. I don't want to think too much about it because it's wrestling. So that's really all I got.
As far as I don't think this is treated like college football. I don't think strength of schedule or strength of opponent is a factor. I don't think it was before either in the AEW rankings, but we have to take record because that's what's face value. And so I went while you were talking and I plotted out the men's and the women's. As far as the men's, everybody in the top 5 is undefeated, but Adam Copeland is 3-5-0, while Swerve and Hangman are only 4-0. And Moxley is 4-0. So you have 1-4-0 below the 5-0 and 2-4-0s above the 5-0. So which is it? And Roderick Strong's only 2-0, but he's 5th, so okay. And as far as the women, Deonna's 3-0, Thunder's 3-0, Hikaru's 2-0, Sky Blue is 2-1, and Mariah May is 2-0. Whereas Chris Statlander is 3-0 and not on this list, and Willow Nightingale is 2-0 and not on this list. So, and there I think those two together are featured more than Hikaru Shida is, for example. So it's really storyline driven. It's what they want to do. It's never going to be anything realistic.
Yeah. And just to be clear, I'm not saying they need to base it purely on one loss records, but there should at least appear to be some sort of record in play for their ranking. If that makes sense.
Well, I like the idea of the rankings as a whole, right? I mean, if you're trying to give a bit of a sports presentation to things, right? Boxing has been built on rankings for decades. UFC uses a ranking system to name contenders, all kind of stuff. But I think we have to be careful of trying to, you know, have our cake and eat it too. Cause if we're going to come out and say, well, this is all storyline driven, then I really don't care about the records. It's like, this is what they're presenting to us as far as storylines go. And it's like, whatever makes sense in that, as long as the booking makes sense, then I'm all right with it. I'm not going to dig into, well, this person's 2-0, this person's 3-0, this one beat Bob, but Bob beat Phil and Phil couldn't beat a paper can. I don't know, but you know, I'm not going to get too invested in it that way. It's like, okay, this person's number one contender. They're getting a title shot. They're ranked number one. It makes sense. That's pretty much about as deep as I'm going to get into it.
Yeah, I think the only promotions that took ranking seriously were fantasy promotions back in the early 90s. So, E-Feds for life, baby. Yeah, so I wish I could be more invested in Dynamite. They're just, I don't know, AEW is not doing a lot to capture my attention right now. And I just watch what I do enjoy, which is basically Tony Storm and Samoa Joe. And a lot of Christian Cage, because he's just the best heel going around. But he hasn't been on TV in the last couple of episodes. So,
yeah. And Adam Copeland, I think, knocked it out of the park when he described why Christian is good right now is because he is not trying to be the cool heel. He is trying to make you dislike him.
And doing an excellent job.
And that's what it's all about. You want the villain that will figuratively pee on the audience's shoes.
Yep. Oh, that was a great line. Another great line by Tony. She stood up and sat back down and she goes, "Did somebody piss on my seat? This is gross." Tony. Anyway, so our next episode will cover SmackDown, Rampage, and Collision. And hopefully we'll have some more interesting things to talk about and newsworthy items that are not Vince related. So thank you once again for listening, downloading, and subscribing. And we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter /X at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter /X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at Lord Xandrax, and you can follow Josh at Southpaw Josh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from The Wrestling Brethren.